Thank you, Pine Bluff, for having me here. Thank you for your graciousness, your sweet spirit. It's always a delight to be here. And you're some of the greatest cooks on the planet. And I don't care who knows it, it's just true. It just happens to be true. And we're grateful. If you're visiting with us, we welcome you. And my three grandchildren are here, so all is well with the world with me. So, you know, whatever else happens, it just happens. It's a wonderful night. And that's always a wonderful night when they're here with us. We've been talking this week about this tiny little seed here, my bean seed. And we found out that according to the Word of God and according to creation, there can be no regeneration without seed. God ordained that. And that's biologically and spiritually. We discovered that. And we also discovered from God's Word that all seed became corrupt. It crashed. When Adam sinned, seed became corrupt. And God allowed creation to fall alongside Adam. Plants begin to die, produce corrupt seed. Plants begin to die, animals begin to die, people begin to die. That stain of death was carried through the seed. But then we discovered last night that God allowed amazingly this supernatural living seed to escape the ravages of the fall. And of course that seed is the living Word of God, and in particular the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. God allowed that to pass. And we found out last night that the Word of God is alive and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword. And it can pierce to the division of the soul and the spirit, and the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It has the ability to penetrate that dead human spirit. Those of us who may not know Jesus Christ as Savior, we have a dead human spirit, and that supernatural gospel has the ability to penetrate that dead human spirit. And God the Holy Spirit can germinate that amazing seed of the gospel, and life comes. Supernatural life comes. Life returns to the one who was once dead spiritually. And last night the message was, God's amazing seed of the gospel is procreational. That is, it begets, it gives life. Tonight's message is entitled, God's amazing seed of the gospel is powerful. It is powerful. Hebrews 4:12 says, the Word of God is living and powerful. Amazing power. If you would you pray with me? Father, would you open your Word to us tonight? Would you allow God the Holy Spirit to teach our human spirits? Those human spirits that have been made alive because of our faith in Jesus Christ. Would you teach us your living Word? I pray that it would jump alive to us. And I pray that it would motivate us to want to share our faith with other people. Share the gospel. I pray that it would remove all the intimidation and the fear that we have of sharing the gospel. And I pray that we would leave this place with an attitude that we're here on the earth as believers to plant that seed, that amazing seed of the good news of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Romans 1:14-16. The Apostle Paul writes here, I am debtor both to Greeks and barbarians, both to wise and to unwise, so as much as in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. Now look carefully at verse 16. He says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Now look up here just a minute. The gospel of Christ simply is this. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of that sin is death. But God determined that He was going to pay that sin debt of death that we owed to Him. But God, as God, could not die because God is eternal life and eternal life can't die. So in order to fulfill His promise, God took on flesh in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, born that first Christmas morning in Bethlehem of Judea. He came into the world. He lived for 33 years of perfect life. He knew no sin. And then He went to the cross of Calvary, and there He died in our place. The Bible says, "For He, God the Father, hath made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." So He took our place, He took our sin, paid for it in full on the cross. He was buried and rose again the third day. Now that's the good news. That's the gospel. That's what it means. Evangelion, the gospel, the good news. So Paul says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for," because, here's the reason, "it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first." The Jews were God's chosen people. The Apostle Paul always protected that. He said they need to hear the gospel first. And also for the Greek, that's the barbarian. That's people all over the planet from every nation, tribe, and tongue. The gospel is for them. The good news is for them also. But Paul says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel." And the reason that he is not ashamed and was not ashamed of the gospel is because it's the power of God. It's the dunamis of God. It's the dynamite of God. I'm convinced of that. I'm convinced that when I preach the gospel, things happen. Amazing things happen. Supernatural things happen in the hearts and minds of people, because it is a powerful, powerful message. Now I want to flip over to Philippians chapter 1, and I want to borrow a message that I heard 39 years ago. I ran into a man in Indiana at Grace Theological Seminary. His name is Howard Hendricks. And he was used of God to motivate me to want to come to Dallas Seminary. He was part of the reason that God led me there. I wanted to sit under that man that we call Prof. Tremendous communicator. And this is one of the messages that he preached, or part of it, and I never forgot what he said. What he did is he put the Apostle Paul in prison, because that's where he is right here. He's in prison when he's writing this book, Philippians. In fact, he's not only in prison, but he's chained to one of the guards there. The way Dr. Hendricks said, you know, the well-meaning Christians were talking about Paul. And he used two women, no disrespect women, but they were talking about, they're believers, and they were talking about the great Apostle Paul, and he called them Mert and Gertrude. And Mert and Gertrude are having a conversation, and they said, Mert said to Gertrude, "Paul's in jail." Gertrude responds, "Again? Yes, he's always in jail. What's he in jail for this time?" "Preaching the gospel." "Well, he's always in jail for preaching the gospel." But the Apostle Paul responds, look in verse 12, Philippians chapter 1. He says, "But I want you to know, brethren, that that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel." Here's what he meant by that. The Apostle Paul was chained to that guard in the prison. And if that's the case, the guard was chained to him, right? And the guard couldn't go anywhere. Now, how would you like to be chained to the Apostle Paul? Now, what do you think Paul talked about? Nice weather we're having in Rome, aren't we? How do you think the chariot races are going to come out this year? I mean, which Caesar are we going to have as our king this year? You think that's what Paul talked about? No, not at all. What did he do? He shared the gospel. He shared the power of God. He unleashed the power of God. And the amazing thing is, they changed the guard every 4 hours. Another guard came along, chained to Paul. He led him to Christ. And they were going out into the praetorium, spreading the living seed of the gospel. In fact, the whole praetorium was talking about Jesus Christ. They were coming to faith in Christ. Listen, they were sharing it with their families, and people were coming to faith in Christ, and they were going out the Appian Way, which is the road that leads into Rome. It also leads out of Rome throughout the Roman Empire. And the Apostle Paul was unleashing the amazing power of the gospel right there in that cell, and it was going throughout the world. It was an amazing thing. Wow. I remember Dr. Hendricks said, he called it a chain reaction. I like that. Look in verse 13, lest you think I'm jesting. So that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. The Apostle Paul says, I'm God's prisoner. He knows I'm here. He's a sovereign God. You know what? He put me here, right here, to share the good news. And amazingly, I want you to see where the gospel ended up. Look over in chapter 4. Now we're coming back here, so hold your place. Look in chapter 4. Look in verses 21 and 22. Verse 21. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren who are with me greet you. Look at this. Verse 22. All the saints greet you, but especially those who are of Caesar's household. Look at that. The gospel made it all the way to Caesar's family. Is that not amazing seed from that jail cell? One man unleashing the power of the gospel. One man, not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God unto salvation. And he's just unleashing the power. Amazing. Now back to Philippians. What I'm going to show you here is it's not about us. It's not about our power, our ability, our intellect, our intelligence. It's not about that. It's not about our talents. Not about our spirituality. It's even not about whether or not we're walking in fellowship with Jesus Christ. It's not about that. Look at this. Look in verse 14. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident in my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Here's what they're saying. Man, if Paul is accomplishing that chained in prison, what should we be doing out here free? We have the message. He said, some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife. Some were jealous of Paul. Some were always trying to cause problems with him. And they were outside going, you know, Paul's in jail, and he's in jail for preaching the gospel. And some were saying something like, yeah, he's in jail for saying that God has taken on flesh in the person of Jesus Christ and gone to the cross and died there, was buried and rose again the third day. What are they doing? What are they doing? They're preaching the gospel. Now, some were doing it because they appreciated Paul. Some were doing it because they envied him. Look at this. Look at verse 16. The former, that's the envy and strife crowd, the former preached Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains. They weren't sincere. There are times when I preach the gospel when I just felt like I was obligated. I was very insincere when I unleashed the seed. Look at this. But the latter, he said, out of love. Some were preaching it because they respected the Apostle Paul, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. Now look in verse 18. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And in this I rejoice, yes, and will rejoice, regardless of the motivation, regardless if they're in fellowship, out of fellowship, preach the gospel. Share Jesus Christ with the world. Why? Because the power is in the gospel. Speaking of being in prison, and speaking of the power of the living word, I had an illustration that is just sort of stuck in my mind because it really reveals just how powerful the gospel is, just how powerful the word of God is. Did I mention this week anytime that a seed like this can lie in the soil dormant for a long time without regenerating until everything is just right? Now that's God's design, because there are times when it doesn't need to regenerate. But there are times that God's pointed and it'll regenerate, but sometimes it just lies there just dormant. Well, that's true with God's living seed of the gospel also. Let's just say that God wanted the gospel, God wanted His word in this prison somewhere in India. Now that's on the other side of the world. But let's just say He wanted the gospel there. How would you suppose He would do that? Let me give you the way that He did it. There was a man named Ramad who in India was public enemy number one. He was the most feared man in India, the most sought after man in India. He was wanted for murder. He was wanted for sex trafficking. He was wanted for drug trafficking. He was wanted for extortion, armed robbery, you name it. And they had pictures of him all over India. But he could hide pretty easily in India. And if you've ever been to India, you know what I mean. Everybody looks alike, and there are millions of them. Well, Ramad was holed up in this thatched roof huts, and there are millions of those in India. And he was holed up there, and he was rummaging through some papers there. And as he was rummaging through some papers, he came across this little black book that had dust on it. And he blew the dust off, cleaned it off, opened it up. And the pages in that little book were just the right thickness. My grandchildren, close your ears right here. Close your ears up. To roll his cigarettes. So he would tear out a little page of that book and roll his cigarette and smoke it. And every day at the end of a meal, he would find his little book, tear out the page, roll his cigarette, and smoke it. Day after day. Well, one day, amazingly, he discovered that he could read the words in the book. He could read the words on the page. It was in his language. So what he would do is he'd tear out a page, read the page, and then roll it up and smoke it. Tear out a page, read the page, roll it up, smoke it. Page after page. But one day, Ramad slid down at the side of his bed, and he trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior. And he was born of God. The amazing seed of the gospel. That little book was the gospel of John. And the amazing seed of the gospel penetrated his dead human spirit. God germinated the seed and life came. And he was born of God. And you know what he did? He turned himself in. It's me, it's Ramad. Cuff me. And you know what they did? They threw him in that prison that we were talking about earlier. And you know what he did when he was in prison? That's right. He unleashed the amazing power of the Word of God. He unleashed the amazing power of the gospel. God just wanted His Word in that prison. You can't stop it. It's a powerful, powerful message. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I want you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Kind of give you the context of where I want to look here. Apostle Paul said to the church at Corinth, he said, consider your calling, brethren. He said, not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world, that is, those whom the world think are foolish. They're not foolish people. He's not saying we're foolish people. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the things that are wise. And He's chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things that are mighty and strong. And He's chosen the things that are not, the nobodies, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no human being would ever glory in His presence. He will humiliate us, and He will keep us humiliated. He likes using weak people. God delights in using weak people to accomplish His purpose. Now watch this. Now we're 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. I love this. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness, we just said that, in fear and in much trembling. Now look in verse 4. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Now, look at the reason why, verse 5. That your faith should not be in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. God said, I'm going to use the gospel. I'm going to use the gospel spoken softly. I'm going to use the gospel spoken loudly. I'm going to use the gospel from men, women, boys, girls. I'm going to use the gospel as my amazing power to give life to the dead. That's what He's chosen to do. And He's chosen us, those of us who know Christ as Savior, to carry the gospel, to plant the seed to the world. Because it's powerful. It's powerful. It's an amazing message. Now, I saw this passage lived out when I was in Bible college. I was a senior. Nelda Salee was in her first year. We took an evangelism class. They taught us how to share Christ, how to do the hand gesture, ways to share the gospel. That's what they were teaching us in class. And they would give us Saturday morning, they would assign a pair of students to work together, and we would go to the beach, South Beach. We would carry heaven tracks, and we would storm the beach. We would initiate people. We would just walk up cold turkey, hand them a heaven track, and pop the question, if you were to die, where would you spend eternity? I mean, cold turkey. Now, I was a senior, and they liked to pair seniors with freshmen, so I was paired with Nelda. Nelda was, she was scared to death. I remember we were heading over to the beach, and she was so afraid. You talk about weak, she was just extremely intimidated by this and afraid. And I'm trying to calm her. I said, you know, here I am a senior. I'm, you know, poised and all ready to go. And I have all the answers. And I'm just kind of calm that little girl down. And we were going to get there. We were going to share Christ. Everything was going to be wonderful. And when we got there, she bounced out of the car and she took off to the beach. And I'm kind of running behind her and I'm trying to catch up. But before I got to her, she had already engaged someone in a conversation. I thought, oh no, here we go, man. And of all people, this guy was a biology professor from Miami-Dade Community College. Of all people. I was standing back listening to the conversation and I heard her give the gospel. She gave him the hand gesture. You know, that's what we called it then, you know, let this hand represent you and me. Let the wallet represent sin. We all have sin on us. God loves us. He hates the sin. The sin separates us from God. That's bad news. If we die with this sin on us, we're separated from God forever and ever. In order to get to heaven, no sin, but we have sin on us. Let this hand reverently represent Jesus Christ, the God-man, the God who came into the world, took on flesh. He died. He paid for our sin. Look at that. He paid for our sin when He died on the cross. He took our sin upon Himself. He paid for it, all of it, in order that we might have eternal life.
If we trust Him, if we believe in Him, He will give to us forever life. And she was doing that. And I heard the guy say, you can't trust the Bible. It's filled with contradictions. Everybody knows it's a relic of a bygone age. There's no credibility with this book. And I'm thinking, how is she going to answer that? You know what she did? She didn't try to. She said, I don't know about that. She said, I don't know about that, but I know the Bible says that God loves us. And He sent Jesus to die in our place. And if we trust Him, He'll give us forever life. We can be born of God. We can become a child of God by faith. And then He came out with all kinds of stuff. You know, I dare you insinuate that I should tolerate such diabolical insults, you insignificant piece of psychological. And he was just, man, blasting her. And I'm thinking, I need to be up there. I'm the senior. I need to be there. But God kept me right where I was. But you know what she did? She said, I don't know about that, sir. I don't know. I don't understand what you're talking about. But I do know this. I do know that God said He loved us. And that He sent Jesus to die in our place. He died for us. He who knew no sin became sin for us. And if we'll trust Him, we can have life. And I saw something amazing. I'll never forget it. As long as I ever live, I'll never forget it. The guy just calmed down. He just got quiet. And he started listening. And she just kept on explaining, kept on talking, gently talking. And then tears began to flow down his cheek. Listen to me carefully. That wasn't the first time he had heard this message. The Apostle Paul, remember, he says, I plant, Apollos watered, God gives the increase. Nilda just was there at the right time. That man was saved that day. But you know what I learned? I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Whether we preach it out of envy and strife, whether we're out of fellowship, in fellowship, unleash the seed of the gospel. It's not about us. It's about the message. God will honor His word. He honors the message. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, look in verse 4. This was the passage that God used in my life to really impress upon me the value of sharing Christ. The importance of giving people the gospel. And that it really, really wasn't about me. Look at it, verse 4. But as we have been approved by God, I love this, to be entrusted with the gospel. It is a sacred trust He gives to us. Listen to that. It's the most valuable message on the planet. It's the voice of the shepherd calling the sheep to Himself. It's the only message that can give life to the dead. It's a powerful message. And when we have the gospel, we are given a sacred trust. If we know it, then we are responsible to God to share it. Is that not right? He says, even so we speak, and I like this last part, not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts. The message is not going to ever please men. They need it desperately, but they don't want to hear it. That's where we are. They need it desperately, but they don't want to hear it. The other passage is found over in Acts chapter 1. Just prior to Jesus Christ, He had died on the cross. He had come back from the dead. He's now at the Mount of Olives. He's commissioning His disciples, soon to be apostles, with the message of the gospel to go throughout the world. And then He's going to go up to the top of the mountain. And He's going to, watch this, girls. He's going to go right on out of sight.
I tell people often, how would you like to have been on the top of that mountain that day to have seen that? Would you want to preach the gospel then? Would you be motivated? Would you come down? I've seen the Lord. I've seen Jesus Christ. You know Him? Sure you would. Amazing. But the commission here says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, to the ends of the earth. I never prayed to go to the ends of the earth, but I had a chance to do it. I went to India. Most amazing experience in my life. It did, in many ways, change my life. I witnessed something there that I will never forget. I witnessed the amazing power of the gospel at work. We were speaking to 350 pastors out of Vijayawada, India, in the province of Andhra Pradesh. And they spoke Telugu. And we didn't speak Telugu. We spoke through a translator. I taught Galatians. Nat taught Romans. But we would speak through a translator. You know, we would say what we wanted to say, and the translator would speak. And we would speak, the translator would speak. We would speak, it was kind of like a rap. We kind of got in a pace like that, you know. And I had no clue what I was saying to the people. I knew what I was saying myself, but I had no clue what they were hearing because of what the translator was saying. And I used an illustration that Donald Way Barnhouse had given years ago about the law and about the water out of the drainage ditch and all the debris in the water and all the water settling down and the water looks clear and then the spoon being the law and stirring up our sin as the law does. It stirs up our sin to give us a knowledge of our sin and points us to Jesus Christ. I gave that illustration. And I gave a lot of illustrations. And before we left, all the pastors came up, all of them, and they got in a big, giant circle. They put us in the middle, all three of us. And they said, you have talked to us now. You've talked to us for 10 days. Let us tell you what we heard because of what you said. I had no clue what they heard because of what we said. But then one by one, they started going around. And listen, folks, they got it. They heard it. And we were just bawling our eyes out. Up until that time, I wanted to go home. But we were just bawling our eyes out. We said, God, you're amazing. You're a genius. But that wasn't the kicker. Let me tell you what the kicker was. What I asked him, I said, look, where did you guys come from? They won't allow missionaries to come in here. I mean, you're obviously the pastor of 350 churches, right? A lot of people represented in those churches. So where did y'all come from? No missionaries, no teachers coming in, no Bible teachers. Where did you come from? One of the men came up and he said, several years ago, someone over in your country, might have been Wycliffe, one of those Bible translating ministries, translated the Bible into Telugu, and they smuggled it in here. They just smuggled it in and hid it away. And I'm thinking, I was flying home on the airplane, and I said, in my mind, I said, hold it. You mean you came from just the written Word of God? No one taught you? You just got it out of this book? The Word of God is living and powerful. Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. It's not about us. It's about preaching the gospel, planting seed. That's what we do. We plant the seed in people's heart. Just tell them, just give them the facts. Share the gospel with people. Don't try to defend it. Just